joining me in the studio now, a young man who was on stage at around about, it was about 11:30 last night when I walked into the room. He was up on stage. You're on stage again today. What time is it you're at the King's Head, Mr. Chris Kent?
Hello, it's 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock at the King's Head. And is that you doing a solo show? Is that nothing but pure Kent?
That's pure Kent.
Wow, undiluted, beautiful, the
basically,
hour.
Basically, absolutely, yeah. Just basically my Edinburgh show from this year.
Nicely done. And so I did not see you at Edinburgh this year, which is negligent on my part, my friend. Did you enjoy it, Chris?
I had a great time. I did.
Is it the first time you've done a full run?
No, third.
Oh, wow, wow. Third. So you really got the feel of it now.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, a festival like Edinburgh, I mean, it's interesting to talk to comics about the kind of differences between festivals. Something like Galway, which is it's what you call it's the standard length festival. This is sort of like a fortnight sort of thing, yeah. You know, whereas Edinburgh is much more as a marathon
and less crack.
Hey, you know what? That how much of that pressure of Edinburgh do you think is in your head, and how much of it is actual real? Stress.
I think a lot of it's in your head, actually, because the first year, you know, I just felt it all and took it all on board. Then I cared slightly less every other year.
So yeah, there is that kind of law of diminishing returns with the sort of emotional investment in the festival. I find, you know, did you when you went, you know, are you going expecting to get something from it other than just, you know, a good sort of 4-week, 3-week run of doing gigs?
I think I'm just going over there to try and get a good show, get it all tightened up, become better every year. That's the reason I go, you know.
Yeah,
and you want to get more work as well out of it, you know. It's a good platform.
Is it important for you to sort of go and see other people when you're there as well?
Yeah, I go to see as much as I can, but it's a bit, you know, yourself.
Will Hodgson, who is an absolutely brilliant comedian from the West Country of England, he has this, he's very, very strident about this sort of, it's a festival, not a trade fair.
Yeah,
and I think that's sort of something that it's a good point well made, really, that these comedy festivals, they can get a bit businessy, particularly Edinburgh, with it being tied to the television festival as well.
Yeah.
Whereas something like the Vodafone Comedy Carnival here in Galway, there's a bit more of it is a celebration, isn't it?
It's laid back. It's just about the comedy.
Do you prefer, though? I think that's what I was working my way around to.
Absolutely, this one. Yeah. Since I'm talking about it down here at this festival.
Yeah.
But no, clearly it is. It's just so much more fun, you know?
Yeah.
For me, there's not as much flyer in and work and pressure around getting people into the show, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's absolutely far better.
Yeah, it's with sort of and doing the gigs in your home country. I mean, it's an odd thing to ask, but I suppose I've played in Scandinavia this year, so it's the first time I'd ever worked abroad in a country where the first language isn't English.
Yeah.
You know, I've done Australia and Canada and America, but to be in Scandinavia, that was a real. That actually changed the way I looked at the job.
Because
Likewise.
I was there as well this year.
Yeah. Man, yeah.
Estonia,
where'd you go?
And Finland, yeah. Tallinn, Tartu, Helsinki, I think.
I'm still trying to work out exactly what it was that changed how I felt about sort of comedy. Really, what do you, have you got any kind of?
It's frightening to be in a room like that and be slightly worried about your accent or anything like that, and to find out that they have far better English than you, even though it's their second language.
Man, I had 400 Swedes in front of me, all of whom had
amazing,
far better English than I do, which seemed, if anything, slightly wrong. Hey, apropos of delightful Europeans, this is a young lady called Camille from an album called Ilo Vio. And that is how you pronounce it. I'm not joking now. This song is called Mars Is No Fun, after which we shall be joined in the studio after some ads as well. We've got to put bread on the table. Mr. Howard Reid will be joining us very shortly indeed. More chat about the festival. Boom. Hit me, Jason. Phil Jupiter's on Galway Bay FM, sitting in for Keith Finnegan between now and noon today, when I will be out of your faces forever. We can just forget this unpleasant 5 days of a large man coming into your homes, intruding, It will just be a dim memory that in about a month you'll be in. It's 11 o'clock. I don't feel so stressed. Why is that? It's because the shouty man with his punk rock records isn't there anymore. It's time to welcome to the studio Mr. Howard Reed.
Hello,
ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Howard Reed is joining us here, and he is this weekend very much providing the spine of the Comedy Club for Kids, which is taking place at the Spiegelten Paradiso at 2:30 p.m. as today, tomorrow, Sunday, and indeed Monday as well, but it's been gone by Monday. But you're doing three straight days of this, yes, aren't you, dear boy?
Yes.
Is your friend accompanying you?
The boy is here, yes. He will be here some days and not others.
So little Howard shall be making appearances. That's nice to know.
Which is interesting, a tent with a projector. It's fine. It's going to be fine, though.
No, really.
But if, I have a squint.
Let's go into the westernmost comedy venue in all of Europe, which they've literally put on the edge of the country just for an element of risk. Yeah, have you ever seen one of those films where a bloke is standing on a window ledge and someone talks him down? That's the sort of venue it is. It feels like a venue that's being talked back into the country. But don't jump! Don't jump, Spiegelten. So you're doing this comedy club for kids, Howard, is something you've been involved with since its inception?
Since my inception of doing kid stuff, yes.
Yeah.
It's how I started doing. I did it before I did the. But Little Howard used to be an adult thing, which just for stand-up audiences. But people kept on bringing their kids because there was a cartoon in it. And eventually I thought, why didn't I just stop swearing?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I did. And I did my first gigs with Comedy Club for kids.
Yeah.
And thought, oh, this works. And then worked it up into my own shows, which I tour.
It's really weird. On a good day, you absolutely get why Comedy Club for Kids works. And it does kind of kick in. I think I might have been better at it because I've done it a couple of times. As you know, I do Joop Joop the Panda.
Inspired work.
Joop Joop the Panda, who is Chris. Ah. Chris is looking at me, and Chris is now with sheer terror. Joop Joop the Panda is a panda who has escaped from China.
Wow.
And can answer any questions about the world of pandas. And
if they ask questions about the world of pandas rather than about crisps.
Indeed, basically, they're like, the questions are basically, they're quite rude. So, but it was fun. I quite liked it. When it worked, it was amazing, but it's very, a kid's audience, they'll turn on you like no other audience you've ever had, won't they?
Which is usually fun. Because when kids turn on you, when the kids shout at you, it's not because they hate you, which is nice. It's just because they don't know that they're not supposed to shout at you. In stand-up, people shout at you because they loathe you, and someone doing stand-up you don't agree with appears to just be the most offensive thing that you can possibly, like, people get really, really, really angry.
They're personally affronted.
Yeah, it's like
if you don't fit their
house and
if you don't
stuff.
Fit the paradigm in their life for humour.
Yeah.
It's like you're violating their personal space.
Yeah, and sometimes I did that. But with kids, it's just they sit there and they're just open vessels, and they just say the first thing that comes into their head. And so very often the kids make me laugh more than I make them laugh.
Yeah.
In fact, more often than not.
Yeah,
I just repeat what they say, and that's basically the backbone of my career.
What I quite like as well is when you do Little Howard at the Kids Club, Comedy Club for Kids, is what I like is the way that Little Howard takes the side of the kids against you.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes, I think I've got the advantage when I'm doing Little Howard because there's two of us, effectively.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's always one that they root for, and some nights the audience root for me, bizarrely, which is odd. And so I have to change the dynamic of everything I do to sort of make that work. And if Little Howard's too mean to anyone in the audience, and quite often, bear in mind, some of his stuff is pre-recorded, so he's exactly the same.
Exactly,
to them.
Yeah.
And some of it I can do him live now, and I can do him perform him
live. Yeah, I have seen it, that, yeah.
Which is fun.
Yeah.
But sometimes the audience just read the whole thing the other way and go with Little Howard. And so that, yeah, it keeps it interesting. So I get to be. So they very rarely turn on me because there's two of me. They turn on one of me, but not necessarily the one that they are expected to.
Chris, have you ever? Is this something that you've? You know, as you're a young man, it's early in your stand-up career. Is doing it for kids something you've ever entertained?
It sounds absolutely terrifying. To be quite honest, yeah, I'd rather do it. I'd rather do drunkest adults in the world than to do it in front of kids.
And ostensibly, children, that's what children are, is that they're tiny drunk adults.
They can only hit you so high up your body.
That's the
upside.
Yeah,
but
or is it the downside, Howard?
Right? It's the downside.
That came out wrong.
They have one target area, unless you're into that kind of thing.
And I have been, in fact, last time I did a gig in a tent with Comedy Club for Kids, I end with a routine with a rubber frying pan.
Yeah.
If there's a barrier of some sort between the audience and the stage, you can come out in the audience and you can do things, hit people around the head with a rubber frying pan,
yeah.
And it and you can go back and retreat to safety.
Cool.
But if there's a stage that's just about a foot high, which quite a lot of tents have, when quite often it ends with a bundle and then trying to get my quite fragile frying pan off me, and then suddenly you turn into an angry dad.
And of course, the problem then is that, you know, using the security staff to get the children off you, that just looks bad.
Yeah. Just one great big man.
One enormous hairy man wrestling a four-year-old to the ground. Just never
throwing
looks
him
good.
Against the walls of a tent.
Are you doing any turns for the grown-ups while you're here, Howard?
So I've nothing set in stone in the diary. But,
I'm looking here.
I'm hoping.
I reckon what they might have snuck you into doing is the carnival, possibly.
I'm sure. I'm sure turning up doing that.
I sense that's happening.
He's a very funny man.
Yeah. The boy Spain. Yes, he's very much enjoying his late night slot at the Roche and Dove, 11 p.m. Which I'm doing it tonight. That's right. So what we should do is we should play something raucous now, because that's the way this boy rolls. And then we'll have some more adverts and we'll be back with the chaps after this on Galway Bay FM. Yeah, it's Phil Tutors here on Galway Bay FM as part of the Vodafone Comedy Carnival Galway. The fine people at this station have given us their airwaves. It's just between now and noon. My guests, Mr. Chris Kent and Howard Reed, are with me still here in the studio. I was talking to Chris earlier about the sort of the festivals, the nature of festivals, the fact that there's a slight sort of duality with them, Howard, in that partially it's somewhere where you go to, you know, it's a place of work for the comics, but also it's somewhere you go to watch things as well. Do you find yourself getting out much at festivals?
It depends. At Edinburgh, I tend not to much early on because my shows are very tech heavy and require a lot of rehearsal, and so quite often I'm just spending my time just fixing the show and making it work and stuff. But then once you get into it, and it's usually the late night cabaret stuff that I see, and then later in the festivals get in to see more stuff. It's more like festivals like this where I actually get out and see more stuff.
You see, I've shifted, you know, when you know, good Lord, I've been in this game for 30 years now, and I kind of shifted the way that I do it this year in that I took a morning gig where I had to be in an art gallery at 9 o'clock every morning of the Fringe. And that, so what happened this year, which was very odd from my point of view, because a festival, when you work in the game like we do, this is something that maybe the listeners out there might not be simpatico with, but you're working, you're sort of, when you're in the entertainment business, you the end of the day is your time, is when you kind of you're out and working. But so to artificially pull it earlier in the day, and so the normal rhythm of Edinburgh is you do your gigs and then you go out on the lash and things. Didn't happen at all for me.
Most of my shows are, most of my working day starts sort of early afternoon usually, because I'm usually doing a kid's show and an hour show in Edinburgh, and so I usually got the day to spend, but I'm just rubbish at getting out. I just need to get. I always feel guilty about not seeing as much stuff as I should, and I should just see more.
Well, the thing, I think it's once you've resigned yourself at a busy festival to the fact that you're not going to see, you're going to miss loads of things you really want to see. Yeah. I've already cranked myself up for disappointment before I go to Edinburgh.
Yeah. But then also, but I always end up, especially in Edinburgh, where it's such a smorgasbord of stuff, that the things I actually commit to go and see are usually the wrong things. I usually get like food envy, but with shows, you go, I've wasted my precious time to see this. This is not as good as I hoped it would be. And then,
whereas what I quite like about, you know, and here we are today. I mean, some of the things going on today. I mean, of course, you know, you are at 2:30 there in the Spiegel tent, Howard, and then you've got Red Bastard's going
to
be on at 5.
I want to see that.
Reg Hunter's on with Tom Rhodes, Celia Packler, and Colin Murphy. That's going to be an amazing gig in the Spiegel tent tonight. Milton's on later. You've got, you know, Chris here, you're on at the King's Head, which is at 3 this afternoon. The Horn section are in town tonight.
I did that for the first time a couple of months ago.
With the little fella, or
just me. Getting it working with the little fella was quite hard work.
Yeah,
but they're so great.
They're amazing.
They're so great.
I just did it the once. I've never been asked back. So that, I suppose that's how good I was.
They're the masters of the pause. They've got amazing comic timing. I was doing a song that they'd never seen before.
Yeah.
And it involved me miming having an accident in my trousers. And they knew it from behind. They managed to see me miming doing a pulling face.
Yeah.
And everything stopped. It was amazing. And they timed it perfectly. They are comic geniuses.
Extraordinary, yeah. And so that, so for those of you that aren't about the horn section, it's a, it's as I think it's a seven-piece band. It's a seven-piece band with the master of ceremonies. The leader of the band is Mr. Alex Horn, and they are really, if you like music, get the Venn diagram of your life. Do you like music? Do you like comedy? Let's pull those two things together. And at the Integer is the horn section. They are extraordinary.
And Alex is doing Comedy Club for Kids today.
Oh, he is as well. Marvellous.
As with Fred Cook.
Splendid stuff.
It's going to be lovely.
Splendid stuff. Yes. Wow, that's an amazing lineup there.
They're both. I've never seen Alex do a kids show, but I can imagine his stuff just working in front of kids. But Fred is just a, just an improvisational. Yeah, he just never knows what he's going to do, and he goes on and then just does something insane.
I'm seeing him tonight. He's on at the Carnival tonight at 11, which I'm on as well, so I'm quite looking forward to seeing this young man.
I shall come down and see that, yes.
I've heard the talk. So we're here. Festival-wise, it's an event here in Galway, but of course, being able to play in Ireland, how many times have you... You must have been over a lot, Howard, didn't you?
I have, in the last few years, actually. I've been over lots and lots and lots. I was in... Northern Ireland last week. I've been playing festivals over there, doing the Cathedral Quarter Arts Centre Arts Festival, and I've been doing the Westport this year, and a show at theatre shows in Sligo, and I'm back in Letterkenny next year, and so I'm over quite a lot. Yeah,
fabulous.
And it's
stuff.
Lovely. Yeah,
marvellous, marvellous. Gigging Ireland for me, you know, it's something I did when I did it early on. It was, which has got to be sort of 20 years ago, the sort of very first time I came over with Michael Smiley, funnily enough, and it was.
He's a relaxing touring partner, isn't he?
Eh?
He's a relaxing touring partner.
You know what? It was quite delightful. We were on a bus full of nuns, and really good because he was basically like my what it's like being an Ireland Sherpa, and he was talking me through all of these things that I was experiencing because it was just like, for me, it was like another world. It was like being in the Shire. I felt unreal. It was extraordinary. You know,
I always love flying to and from Ireland because there's always lots of very nervous female Irish passengers who are phoning everybody beforehand, and yet they seem to worry, don't they? The ladies, particularly on airplanes,
Ireland. I don't know what they're worried about. It's the coming back into Ireland that makes me nervous, because that landing at Knock, it shouldn't be called Knock, it should be called Smash. That's the wrong name for an airport. I'm not sure I can imagine anything more harrowing than the world's biggest Irish band. Chris Kent, discuss.
What? Me?
There was just an advert just then saying that they're having a world record attempt to get the world's biggest Irish band.
Wow.
At the traditional music festival that's taking place.
In Gort.
Yes, my
of
friend.
Of all places.
Wow.
Irish bands are already quite big, aren't they?
I know, this is the thing.
I was at Westport.
Mind you, yesterday I was in Nocton's yesterday, in the middle of town, and there were some lads, have you been to Nocton's in Galway? It's amazing. The history just seeping off the wall. It's the only complete collection of all the Galway Arts Festival posters, even the people that organise the Arts Festival haven't got a full set of posters.
Wow, fantastic.
Nocton's have. So I was in there yesterday, and I think you walk in there and you think it's going to be Full Tilt Diddley. You think you're going to be getting it, Howard. You think it's going to be and then the English, you know, and none. I walked in, they're playing, LA Woman by the Doors.
There you go.
There's some lads with electric guitars doing LA Woman in the but they're all sat in the corner. They look like, you know, the old fellas with the fiddles and the borons and what have you. It was just like, down, City of Lights. Yeah, you know, can I have a Guinness, please? City of Lights. It's somewhat incongruous.
Authentic,
really.
Irish experience.
That's exactly it. That's it. And now whenever I walk into, what is it going to be today when I walk in, it's like there's going to be a lad dressed as Hendrix at the bar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So this is the thing, is what I like about a festival is you get into rhythms. You get into rhythms when you're in. Now, are you here long enough, do you think, Howard Reed and Chris? Are you here? Chris, where do you live in Ireland, my friend?
I live in Dublin.
You live in Dublin?
Yeah.
So coming out to the Wild West for you. Are you here long enough to develop a festival rhythm, my friend?
Probably not. I wish I was.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. As in a rhythm in myself or a rhythm for...
Well, just for deep... You know, it's like when I'm in a city, it's like my rhythm for Galway has become very much... And this is after I do this show, and it's like noon... What I'm going to do is I'll take a slow amble around the town.
Yeah.
And then by one, I'll make sure I'm in Nocton's, and then then I'll start drinking the Liffey water.
Yeah.
I'll have a couple of them, and then there'll be a pie will be taken, and then I'll go to more junk shops.
No, that's my
Galway rhythm now.
Last time I came here, I came with my family, and my kids came.
Yeah.
And so I had the festival rhythm and the going out and seeing the late shows and having a bit of the black stuff till quite early in the morning, and then sleeping in a hotel room with a 7-year-old who wakes up at 6:30. He's not here this year.
You're an idiot.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
This year I'm very clever.
You're not an idiot.
Wise.
That's worse than schizophrenia. That's insane. What are you thinking?
Well, I already live that sort of life between stand-up and kid stuff anyway, so I kind of... I don't know who I am anymore. Please help me.
We are ostensibly all fakes. We're all up on stage telling...
I'm two fakes.
Beautifully constructed... That's what you're... Beautifully constructed lies is what our lives are constructed around. So Chris, it's when you're back home, when you're back to Dublin.
Back to Dublin tonight, actually. So sadly.
You're doing another festival, aren't you? Festival. So that's
I am indeed.
This boy's life is made of festivals.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. These 2 days have been hectic.
They're at the same time.
The rest of the month has been, you know, I'm joking. No, it's been great. But no, I love Galway. You do get into a rhythm down here. I mean, it's like a different time zone, though. You know.
Yeah.
Time doesn't. There is no time.
It's different here, isn't it?
It's different here. Yeah. It's a different time zone. I find it hard to sleep. It's a different time zone in Galway.
What I like about it is that there is a sort of a feeling of it being culturally very different from home. That's what I've always loved about gigging in Ireland. Yeah. It's appreciably different, you know. It's not just a kink or a twist or a regional variation like when you're touring around the UK. You're in someone else's country and you feel it.
Absolutely.
From the get-go.
It is different to any other county or city in Ireland, I think. It's my favourite place to gig, honestly.
Yeah.
It's absolutely brilliant.
It's not too shabby. And well, let's just stop blowing smoke up Kevin Healy's bottom, shall we? He's put together a beautiful festival. The last weekend is approaching us now. There's events taking place. If you scamper along to VodafoneComedyCarnival.com, you will find full listings for all the events this weekend, which take place, you know, right the way from the gigs start at 1 p.m. in the King. David McSavage is on 1 p.m. at the King's Head today, and Ardlo Hanlon's on tomorrow at 1 in the King's Head.
Brilliant.
And tickets are available on the door, it's worth saying, at the King's Head.
Yeah, King's Head, all tickets fancy on the door,
starting, because it's a bank holiday weekend, isn't it, in Ireland
it
this
is,
weekend,
yeah.
Chris? So, yeah. Man alive, people. It's this weekend is built for enjoying yourselves. Mr. Reid, aside from your collision of gigs, have you thought about doing anything in Galway? You going to take a look at anything?
I always like the beach, like the aquarium, like the...
I adore Black Rock, those diving boards. I like going to the diving boards.
I've not been there.
And jump off.
Have you seen the film The Guard?
I haven't, no.
Oh, man. Get the film The Guard, watch that, and then go to Black Rock to the diving boards and go, oh, it's from the film, and giggle and fan yourself like
I could do it the other way around.
You could do it the other way around. gentlemen, Chris Kent, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.
What time today? It's
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock at the King's Head. Howard, 2:30 today at the Spiegelton.
Yes.
Lads, thank you very much indeed for coming in. Thank you so much to Keith and Katie Finnegan for looking after me here at Galway Bay FM, and Damien and Jace for looking after me as well, and Joan and all the camera crew have been filming for the website stuff. Vodafone Comedy Carnival is available on iTunes as a download. This is a podcast. It's not a good one, but it's a podcast, and that's the important thing. But anyway, thank you all so much for tuning in, and enjoy your bank holiday weekend here in London. It's been an absolute privilege to broadcast for you. Cheers, ta-da.